pray for Whitesville Baptist Church since the FFA is there today, and we a lot of our students are there. Let's pray that God will bless that church and that our students and the FFA students that went really go and they received something. They just didn't go because it was an FFA thing. How's that sound? Lord, we lift up Whitesville Baptist to you today. We ask that your blessings would fall upon that church, and God, that you would make it a strong body of believers. We pray that each student that's there today and every person that's there today would hear from you, and that there would be a change that would take place in their life that would draw them closer to your faith. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand together as we read the scripture from Job. And I want you to notice the first, we have a scripture today? Okay. I want you to notice before I even read it that it says, after Job had prayed for his friends, that's when the Lord restored his fortunes and blessed him. It's after he got his eyes off of himself and off of his problems, and he started praying for his friends, and that's when God showed up. And that's what God wants to do with us. Sometimes we get so into our own problems and our own situation that we forget to pray for others. And once we begin to pray for others, then God shows up and he blesses and he touches our life. So here's the word of God. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought on him, and each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. Woo, that's cool. And the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life with more than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You can be seated. If you go a couple more verses, it says that Job's daughters were the most beautiful in all of the land. So his second set of children were better looking, apparently, than his first set. But we have been talking, and this series has really excited me, is we've been talking about why do bad things happen to good people? Because the world is looking for that answer, and we should be able to answer that. And one of the reasons is the title of the message today, to prepare us for greater blessings. And we're going to see how that works as we get into the Word today. But, you know, it doesn't work the same way for animals as it does for us. There was a dog that was missing in a little Midwest town, and they put out some flyers and some signs to retrieve the dog, and this is what the sign said. It said, lost dog, missing most of its fur due to mange, blind in one eye, deaf, missing a rear leg due to a traffic accident, goes by the name Lucky. Oh, here's another one. You gotta have one of these. A dog walks into the bar. He says, a three-legged dog walks into the bar. And he says, I'm looking for the man who shot my paw. All right. Number one, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? Sometimes it's to position and prepare them for greater blessings. Let me talk about a man named Bruce Wilkinson. Some of you may have known him. He's written in his book, The Dream Giver. Now, if you're 40 years or you're 45 years or younger, you need to get a hold of his book, The Dream Giver. If you're in college, especially, or you're the last couple years of high school, you really need to read that book, Dream Giver. And in his book, he talks about a situation that he went through. Him and his wife had prayed, and they felt that God wanted them to launch a Christian magazine. And so they stepped out in faith and they did it. And for 5 months they asked God to provide. And for 5 months God seemingly did nothing. As a matter of fact, he and his wife found themselves in really serious financial problems and situations. In over 5 years in debt of salary and no money coming in. Can you imagine being 5 years in debt of your salary with no money coming in? To say the least, he was really disillusioned. He was getting angry. He was angry at everybody. He was angry at himself. He was angry at God. He was confused, and he was questioning God. But what Bruce didn't know is that God was preparing a much bigger plan, a different kind of magazine. And maybe you've heard of it. It's called The Daily Walk. And out of that magazine has come 10 other monthly magazines, and he now has a distribution of 120 million copies per month. Amazing, isn't it? Now, you may have read this book or seen this book. Out of that came a book that he wrote, and it's called The Prayer of Jabez. Have you heard of that book? Some of you probably read it. It was the fastest selling book of all time, and still is to this day. But he had to go through that valley in order to be able to be ready to handle the success that came when it came. Now Job, it says, received back double everything that he lost. Apparently Job would not have been able to handle all that wealth if he had not, first of all, been humble. Most of us can't handle great wealth. Most of us cannot handle great success. But he received double back everything. But you notice he did not receive double children. He only got 10 children back. Remember, his children were killed in a tornado. He lost everything. His health, his industry, his job, his home, his wife turned on him, his friends turned on him. I mean, Job was having a bad life. But God restored unto him double, except his children, because they were only a temporary loss. He was going to be reunited with them in heaven. He also received twice the lifespan. It says that Job lived to be 140. Now, sometimes God may be allowing bad things into your life to prepare you to handle greater blessings. Most people can't handle success. Charles Spurgeon was known as the Prince of Preachers. He became a very famous preacher of his day and preached to thousands upon thousands of people, multitudes. But he experienced long periods when he had gout. How many of you had gout before? Shout if you had gout. No, I'm just kidding. If you had gout, it's not fun, is it? Yeah, I knew you'd shout. Sometimes he had to practically be carried in to the pulpit to preach. The pain is so severe you cannot walk. But on top of that, he would have great times of depression. Overwhelming depression. And as he went through these cycles of depression, they seemed to get worse and worse. Here he is, a man of God. But one thing he noticed, that the deeper and the darker and the more difficult his depression was, following that came a greater ministry, a greater blessing in ministry, so that he could handle it. You don't hear him backsliding and having an affair like television evangelists or many mega church pastors, do you? Because most of us cannot handle that kind of success. Now, how many of you remember 1957? That was your favorite year. Anybody here? I know the 57 Chevy was very popular. I was still in diapers. I was a slow learner. But buying power has more than doubled since 1957. And back in 1957, they did a survey, and they said that 35% of Americans were very happy. But since that time, our buying power has doubled. Back in 1957, most people had one television. If you had two televisions, there was something wrong with you. You were narcissistic. You had one car. You had one bathroom. And you had one phone. And you had that one TV you had. You got three channels. And every time you wanted to change, you had to stand up and walk to the TV and turn the channel and play with the antenna to get it to come in. And 35% of Americans were very happy back then with that. But since that time, things have doubled. Most families have two or three bathrooms. Most people have, everybody in the family has a phone. Most have more than one bathroom. Most have more than one car. And they did the survey 60 years later, and it was less. 30% of Americans were very happy. So see, stuff and riches do not make us any happier. But the blessings of God and His nearness and His presence does make us happy, fulfilled, and full of joy. Most of us can't handle success. Losing first sets us up to be winners. I think of the Connecticut, any of you that are into college sports, I love college basketball and football. So just bear with me if you hate sports, okay? You can take a little nap here and I'll tell you when I'm done. Connecticut, UConn women, University of Connecticut women are like firehouse. They had national championship after national championship after national championship. They just won, and I watched it. They made history, their 100th win in a row. And they usually tear their opponents apart. Their coach is an awesome coach, good old Italian boy. But his first year there as coach, they had a losing record. They didn't do so well the first few years he was there. And now, seems to be able to handle the success. It's often we have to lose before we can have the success and be able to handle the success that we need to. Did you know that one-third of multi-million dollar lottery winners are bankrupt within a few years? Did you know that? Let me tell you about Evelyn Adams. She won the New Jersey lottery, not once, but twice. Year back to year, 2 years in a row, she won the lottery. And her total winnings was $5,400,000. I'll just take the $400,000, throw the $5 million away. She got $5,400,000. Today, all her money is gone, and she lives in a fallen apart trailer. She said this, "Winning the lottery isn't always what it's cracked up to be. I won the American dream, but I lost it too. It was a very hard fall. It's called rock bottom." Now there's another guy, let me give you his story. His name was Bud Post. Now if I had the last name Post, come on parents, be careful what you name your kid. Bud Post? But his name was Bud Post, and he won $16,200,000 in the lottery. He now lives on Social Security. He said, "I wish it never happened. It was a total nightmare." His former girlfriend successfully sued him for a share of his winnings. Listen to this. A brother was arrested for hiring a hitman to kill him, hoping that he would inherit some of his brother's money. His other siblings pestered him until he agreed to invest in ventures that made no money and further strained his relationship with them. Eventually, Mr. Post spent time in jail. And within 1 year of winning $16,200,000, within 1 year, he was $1 million in debt. And today, he lives on food stamps. Wouldn't you rather have some of the difficult things happen in your life so you can prepare it to handle the blessings of God? The Old Testament prophets saw hard times. When we read their stories, we just go, how did they do that? We look at the life of Paul and all the hardship that he had, and we read about that. But their words today bless us when we are going through a deep, dark area of our life. When we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, we not only know that the Lord is with us because we've read about the stories of their life, but we know for a fact that if they made it through, we can make it through. Amen. Abraham never saw the results of his sacrifices here on earth. The Lord said, "You will have a nation, you will have as many children as there is stars in the sky and sand in the sea." And he never got to see that fulfillment. He died. But he probably couldn't have handled it if he saw it. Our true blessings are in the future anyway. And that's where Abraham was set. He had his eyes set on a city that's not here on earth, but a city whose foundations is God and whose who is in the future, the city of God, and we're all going to have that great reward someday, and I'm looking forward to that. And that's what he kept doing. He kept looking up. When bad things happen, what we need to do is we need to look up at a better place that's before us. All our rewards are there in the future and eternity. The scripture says, look up, for your redemption is drawing near. Look up. Doesn't say look around, does it? Look up. Look up. Number two, I love this one. However, I feel sorry for the people that have to go through this. But number two is this: many times bad things happen to position us for a higher promotion. God wants to promote us. Let's talk about Joseph. Young man in the Old Testament, only 17 years old. God gives him a dream for his life. A God-given dream. And he's excited about it. What God's going to do in his life. So what does he do? He goes and he tells his brothers. And his brothers hate him for it. And one day when they're out, they say, this is our chance to get rid of him. And they throw him in a pit to leave him there to die. But one of the brothers thinks, well, we better not do that. One brother had compassion. And when some men came by, they sold him as a slave. So now he's been put in a pit. He's now been sold as a slave. He's a piece of property in the hands of evil men. Where was God? He had this beautiful dream. Where was God? Well, things started looking up a little bit because when he got into Egypt, Potiphar bought him as a slave. And as we know, Potiphar was a very, very influential man and very important man. And so now he's with Potiphar, so he's in a better situation. Though he's still in a strange land, he has to learn all these new customs. He has to learn all this language. He's been separated from his father and his mother, and his brothers are the ones that did it to him. And all he did was share the dream that God had put in his heart. So things seemed to be going really well until one day, Potiphar's wife notices how good Joe looks. Joe's a looker. He's hot. He's a hunk. And she wants to go to bed with him. And so she tries time after time to tempt him and to get him to, you know, have a little whoopee time. That's why we have children's shirts. A roll of hay, because you don't want your kids asking you later on, what did he mean by that? And he kept refusing. And he refused and refused to the point where she got so mad she got vindictive. And one day, she accused him of rape. She goes to her husband Potiphar and says, this slave you got here, he's been after me, after me, after me. Finally, he touched me and he's molested me and he's raped me. And so what does Potiphar do? He throws Joseph in prison. Wow. Where's God's dream? Where's God's dream? He's now in prison for something he hasn't done. Sorrow is heaped upon sorrow. He goes from a pit to being in Potiphar's place and being property of Potiphar. And now he's in prison and he didn't even do anything wrong. And weeks turn into months and months turn into years and he's still in prison. Where's God? Where's the dream? Well, meanwhile, we know the story that Pharaoh, the most influential, powerful man in the world, had thrown his cupbearer and his baker into the same prison that little Joe was in. And they got to know Joe, and matter of fact, they had dreams. And they wanted someone to interpret their dreams, and they went to Joseph, because I could tell he was a unique person, and he was connected to God, and they both had their dreams interpreted by Joseph. Well, it was only a little while after that. Some reason, the Pharaoh wanted his cupbearer back. And so Joseph, says to the cupbearer, when you get up there with Pharaoh, make sure you put in a good word for me because I'm falsely accused. I'm innocent and I'm here in prison. Say something for me. Stand up for me. So his hopes are built, but guess what? Weeks turn into months. Months turn into years. But little does Joseph know that God is positioning him for for a promotion. Did you get that? In all this, God is positioning Joseph for a promotion. One day the Pharaoh has a dream, and it terrifies him. And he wants someone to interpret it to him, and he can't find anybody that can interpret the dream for him. Finally, one day his cupbearer goes, "I remember a guy I was in prison with. Yeah, he was in there for rape. I think he was innocent. He's really a God. The guy's name is Joseph. And he interpreted my dream, and he interpreted the baker's dream." That one didn't turn out too well for the baker. But anyway, he interprets dreams. It's really cool. Maybe you should have this Joseph guy come up and interpret your dream. So he comes up. He interprets the dream. Pharaoh's like totally impressed. Takes Joseph out of prison. Now he goes from being in prison and going through all that he went through, and now, what is he? He becomes the second most powerful man in the world because he's right beside Pharaoh. And all through this mess, Joseph looked up. He didn't look inward. That's what we do when we start to have problems and situations. We begin to look inward. He didn't look outward. We do that a lot of times. He didn't look downward, but he looked upward to his God and to his Savior. Job went from the pit to desolation and despair to a prison to a standstill in his life, but then he ended up in the palace. But look what all he had to go through. And I love this last one that we're going to look at. Number three is this. Many times bad things happen to prepare us for the miraculous. See, we have to be prepared for the miraculous. If you look through Scripture, every miracle followed closely on the heels of a giant mess. No mess, no miracle. Got that? No messes, no miracle. Think of Sarah. She endured 90 years of frustrating humiliation and barrenness before her miracle baby Isaac was born. Moses, while he was leading a million slaves to their slaughter at the hands of Pharaoh and his chariots, before the Red Sea opened, allowing them to pass through a dry land. Thousands of people had to grow tired and weary before Jesus multiplied the fish and the bread. Amen? And they had a feast. Daniel had to be thrown into the lion's den before he could be spared from even a scratch of one of those lions. I love the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're thrown into a fiery furnace. It should have killed them just as the furnace was open. But prior to being thrown into that furnace, they had to go into the furnace prior to be protected completely by the Son of God. Jesus Christ himself in the theophany shows up in the furnace with them, and no one could even smell smoke on them. Oh, amazing. Bartimaeus had to experience a lifetime of blindness prior to experiencing Jesus touching him and healing him. The 10 lepers had to experience leprosy before experiencing the miracle of their healing. And prior to the amazing earthquake that opened the heart of the Philippian jailer and his family, Paul and Silas had to go to jail. And this, here's a good one for you. Lazarus had to die before his miracle came, before Jesus rose him from the dead. And Jesus Christ had to die before the miracle of resurrection. Now maybe you've done everything right, and you've been living right, and you've been living a godly life, but then a heavy black cloud comes and blocks all your hope from view, and you find yourself in a huge mess. And the only way out is a miracle. Guess what? We serve a miracle-working God. We serve a miracle-working God. And when you have a mess, just begin to praise Him. King Jehoshaphat found himself in a mess. He had three nations coming against his army. And he was scared, and he went to the Lord. He took the battle to the Lord, and the Lord told him to do this, and I mentioned this before. Put the praise and worshipers in front of the army as you march out to take on these three nations. And have them praise and sing unto God. And don't worry about it, because the battle is the Lord's. Do you know that scripture still is alive today? That your battle is His battle? The battle is the Lord's. And so that's what they did. They sang and they praised God. And those three enemies turned on themselves, and the soldiers didn't even have to fight. What we need to know is we need to know that the battle belongs to the Lord, and sometimes we have to get into praise and warfare. We have to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, lift up our voice to God, and then He begins to win the battle for us. Praise is the language of heaven. We connect with the supernatural power of heaven when we begin to praise God. Oh, and I would just tell you to stand up and start praising Him. But I don't know if you used to that. Just get up and say hallelujah. Just stand up and say, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you're in control. You're the Alpha and the Omega. It sort of reminds me of that kid on that video. You're the beginning and the end. You're everything in between. You're the Lion of Judah that breaks every chain. Oh, you are there, God. You are so wonderful. You're majestic. You're holy. You're able to do exceeding abundantly above all I ever asked or possibly think or imagine. I praise you. I thank you. I praise you. I thank you. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And begin to see your miracle begin to happen. God inhabits, the scripture says, the praises of His people. In other words, He comes and He resides with us when we begin to praise Him. A lot of us don't receive the miracle. We don't feel the presence of God. We don't enter into the presence of God because we won't just let it get out and praise Him. Let the praises roll. The Methodists were known as the shouting Methodists. We've lost our shout, folks. We've lost our shout, and we got to get it back. We were known as the shouting Methodists, and we took over the whole United States, and we went over to all the world. And at one time, one out of every 10 people were Methodists, and now we're closing churches because we lost our shout. We need to put praise back on. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Praise Him in the morning, praise Him at noontime, and praise Him when the sun goes down. You think I might be a little bit excited? Well, I'm excited. I'm more excited about Jesus than I am the United of the United. The UConn women Huskies winning 100 in a row. Jesus always wins. Hallelujah. The victory is His, and we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who has saved us. Praise God. Excuse me if I got a little bit excited here, but I sure did. Amen. Let's praise Him today. Maybe you have a battle. During this next song, come to the altar. I'd love to pray with you, and other people would love to pray for you. Let's worship Him today as we sing about His wonderful grace. His grace that saves us. His grace that sets us free.
We stand and sing the grace greater than our sin.
Grace, 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 grace
God bless your people in the quantity of their sacrifice and their giving and their love for you. Bless them with the quantity and the quality, Lord, that they deserve. And Lord, for those that are having a hard time putting you first, I pray that today you'll give them breakthrough into a new relationship with you. And I bless them in that. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.